3-1, and it's fouled back at us, Mike. Oh, what a play! What a play! Michael! Yes! That was amazing. What a one-handed grab. Oh, I am so proud of you right now.
I'm proud of myself.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about one of the greatest plays you've ever seen out of the booth? Just a couple of months after, Jared Sandler cowered in the booth. Here comes Mike Bacsik.
Yep.
Just manhanding that baseball up right there. Now, it would have been next level because Mike had a pen in his hand. It would have been next level if Mike signed it and threw it back into the stands.
Did we see the catch?
No, I did not see it.
That would have been next level. We actually saw the catch.
Yeah, I didn't see the catch.
Yeah, the only other time, you remember, he was in the stands once for a Rangers game. And the ball came right to him, the foul ball, and he dropped it. So the only thing I've ever seen on camera is Mike dropping the ball. I've not actually seen him catch it. This could be a bunch of, like, this could be fake news.
It could be fake news, but, you know, Raymond sold it.
He sold it.
That was a good sell. Hogan never sold anything quite like that in his time. He was no-selling moves left and right. That was not a no-sell by Dave Raymond.
Certainly
right
wasn't selling equality.
But that was quite the play, and you know, Bacsik and Raymond, they're coming back here. Now they got a series started tonight with the Yankees, but they do lose 3 of 4 in Seattle. They didn't get blown out in the series. They very easily could have won 3 of 4 had a few things gone their way. A much needed win on Saturday, though.
If it feels like after that series, they should be farther back than 2 in the wild card and 4.5 in the West. That's what it feels like to me, because I'm kind of with you, Bobby. Like, all right, head up. My improvements versus your improvements. Oh, there feels like a clear separation, but you're just 2 back in the wild card and 4.5 in the division, because Houston is 2-8 in their last 10.
Yeah, and you've got a series that starts here where the team that you're playing is up 2.5 on you in the wild card. So you got another chance.
With no judge,
at least tonight.
Yeah.
He might come back tomorrow. Like, he's eligible to come back tomorrow. He's supposed to be making his trip here today. No idea. But where they are now, I mean, you have a chance against a team that just got swept by the Marlins. And their bullpen of death gave up like 48 runs on Friday. They lost 13-12, and they blew like a 9-3 lead or something like that.
Yeah, let's hope they can hit baseballs and close games. The two things they needed to get at the deadline that they did not.
It'll be Corbin and Freed tonight, Eovaldi and Warren, and then Leiter and Rodon in the three games. And then, I mean, it's a big 9-game homestand because you got Philadelphia right after that. Philadelphia's not too bad, and they're a pretty good team. And then Arizona. And Arizona obviously traded everybody away at the deadline. So this is a big 9-game homestand. I mean, if you could take 2 or 3 here, you factor in that you're probably going to take 2 of 3 at minimum from the Diamondbacks. I mean, you're looking at a pretty solid series. If you could do anything more than that.
The new object of Rangers fans' anger. Well, it's not new. He's just back. People want to know what Jock Peterson has on Chris Young. That's the most common tweet I'm getting right now. Are you effing kidding me? Why is Peterson allowed to walk up there? Oh my God, what a shocker. Jock got out. He is hitting 126 on the season.
Ugh.
126 on the season. Batting average is at 200 this month.
Well,
in 3 games. That's because it's an improvement over last month in 4 games when it was 0.
Wait, was he 1 for 5?
Dude, it's so he has been such a disaster of a signing. I mean to the point that, like, even though he had declined a little bit and then had a bounce back last year, like, you would have never anticipated what he's put up this year.
Guess his WAR.
-0.5.
-1.1.
God, I don't think that's very good.
Triple it, Bob. -1.1.
Gosh.
For Jock Peterson.
I don't think that's very good at all.
Ooh, and he's
keep my lineup.
And I mean, he's somebody who, like, that's a cumulative stat. He was gone for a long time. That was a long time that he was out for, and he still built it up that much.
So they got so he'll be facing 2 lefties this week. So maybe he won't be in the lineup. Maybe, who knows, right? But they got to do something about that. Problem is, trade deadline's gone, and there is no more waiver deadline anymore, right? Like, they got rid of that a couple years ago. There used to be that August 31st waiver deadline, where you could trade guys for guys still who are on waivers, but they got rid of that one. So last week we talked about the Bryce Harper Rob Manfred fight in the clubhouse. Well, listen to the spin that old Rob. So Rob was announcing that Wrigley Field is going to be the site of the 27 All-Star game. Kind of cool, right? I can't remember the last All-Star game at Wrigley Field. Was it 89? Something like that. It was a long time ago. Rob is in the dugout here, meeting the media. Listen to the spin job he put on this about the fight.
You know, I don't talk about those player meetings. Let me say this. I think more has been made out of this than needs to be made out of it. Bryce expressed his views at the end of the meeting. We shook hands and went our separate ways. Just not all that significant.
Shook hands, went our separate ways. Bryce expressed his views. That is his way of saying he came very close to killing me, and I'm fortunate that he didn't. He gave me a swirly. I called him daddy, and we moved on.
It is true. According to the initial report, that is how it ended. They did shake their hands, and they went on their way. And, I mean, to Manfred's credit, the report was that Bryce is like, get the bleep out of here, and Manfred went, no.
Yeah.
Like, what are you good?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't spin that. Now, there are people who are actually getting on Bryce and the big dogs in baseball who are against the salary cap saying, oh, my God, how dare you want competitive balance? How dare you want, other people to make more money? So you are having that side of it, and not just everyone just laughing at Rob Manfred. I do have some numbers on parity throughout the sports that I think are really interesting. Over the last 4 years, four different teams won the World Series. And seven different teams played in it. While 23 out of 30 teams have made the playoffs.
In the last 4 years?
In the last 4 years.
Wow.
That is a sports dream.
That's parity.
That's parity.
Yeah, the luxury tax is doing a good job.
The NBA has seen a similar run. Four champs, seven teams playing in the finals, 25 teams in the playoffs. But the league has more playoff spots available, and that's not even counting the new play-in round.
Mm.
Meanwhile, the NFL has had three Super Bowl champs, six Super Bowl representatives, and 28 teams in the playoffs, which, again, larger than the baseball playoffs. But we have seen people complain that we're getting too much of the same thing in the NFL, whether it's the Eagles, whether it's the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think the NFL's parity has made it so there's a constant recycle of the bottom. And
yeah.
The analytics have made it so, hey, it's just basically the quarterback wins.
We also have gotten the Royals, the Rays, the Rockies, the Tigers, and the Guardians playing in the World Series the last two decades with some of the lowest payrolls in the league. So,
if I'm Bryce,
I'm holding this up and saying, that's what you wanted. That's what you've gotten.
Yeah, the luxury tax has done a really good job of keeping salaries down, which isn't like what you want. But it's also done a good job of limiting teams from just outspending. The Dodgers still could do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as they're deferring payments for ever.
They got to stop. They got to stop the deferred payments. I don't think that's with way outside the spirit of what it should be.
I also have some updated odds from Vegas after all the trades were made. The Rangers, I'll tell you the trading teams after World Series picks. So give me the favorite right now in Vegas today. Bet online to win it all.
Dodgers. Still the Dodgers.
It is the Dodgers. Well done. Plus 280. Then?
Phillies.
Good job, RJ Choppy. Plus 850. Then?
Padres.
Nope.
You're going to have to go American League. Houston.
Nope.
Yankees.
Nope.
Toronto?
Nope.
Tigers?
Nope.
Is it AL?
I'm not going to tell you that. You've guessed half the sport.
Brewers?
Nope.
Mets.
Three teams.
Wow.
Top of the NL. Three teams. That tells you how wide open the American League is, that Vegas isn't even trying to cover their backside. That's plus 950 for the Mets. Then the Tigers and Yankees and Blue Jays are tied at 10-1. The Cubs and the Astros and the Brewers are 12-1. Seattle, Padres. If you think the Texas Rangers, ladies and gentlemen, are winning the World Series, you can get them at 20-1. They were 28-1 before the trades. Bobby, Vegas saying they did a good job.
Could have been 10-1 if you would have actually addressed what you needed.
Seattle went from 18-1 to 14-1. Padres went from 22-1 to 16-1. 1. So 20-1 for the Rangers to win it all, and the Red Sox 25-1.
Okay. It is Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. I'll save the youth thing. This player poll came out, MLB player poll. This was done over the All-Star game, and they took them a while to put it together, I guess. So they asked dream teammate, worst organization. This is...
Who's this from?
This is from Fox Sports. The player you most want to be teammates with. And the it was a runaway. Aaron Judge at 47%. Shohei at 12%. And then a slew of guys at 6%. Kershaw, Schwarber, Trout, Bobby Witt Jr., Paul Skeens. All right, so that was that one. Are you for...
Interesting to me that it's like, did it have to be a star? You know
lineup,
what I mean?
Lineup protection. I want to be teammates with that guy because we'll be good.
Oh.
And then you want to be teammates with Trout because if you're a backup, you'll get playing time.
Yeah, there you go.
I was just thinking it's someone they love.
Yeah. I mean, you could... Yeah, I could see it. Are you for or against the automatic ball strike system?
Against. I guarantee it's against.
Bobby?
Against.
86% for.
Whoa.
Stunned.
Wow.
Didn't the Athletic do a player poll on this a couple months ago and it was like aggressively against?
It was aggressively against.
Well, it's Fox. They fired all their regular people, so maybe.
NL All-Star pitcher. I don't want full ABS. I want to be able to go down and pitch at AAA and rehab and other things. I've gotten experience with it, so I'm used to it, but I don't want the full human element out of it. Others are saying I'm for the challenge system. I just don't want to get rid of the umpires. So there's that. All right, next one. Most underrated player in the game. Jose Ramirez, 23%. And then a ton of guys at 7.5%. Soto, let's see, Joe Ryan.
It's all everybody listening to New York radio who voted Soto.
Severino, Fromber, Aaron Judge as the most underrated players.
Okay.
Ballpark with the best atmosphere. The winning stadium had 20%.
What Fenway league?
American League. Fenway is
Detroit.
Fenway was third. They had 12%. Detroit not on here.
It's Houston?
No, they had 8%.
Baltimore?
No.
You got to win. I
love Camden. It's beautiful.
You spray Camden's with a
great.
Hose.
Camden's great. It's Yankee Stadium.
Yankee.
I was surprised. Philadelphia.
What a bunch of simps these guys
Philadelphia
are
and the Dodgers are second at 16%. Wrigley and Fenway. Petco, Houston, and then Mets and Blue Jays fields. Most surprising team this season, easy. That's the Tigers, the runaway. And then, of course, the Brewers are right there. Organization you'd least want to play for?
Pittsburgh.
This is a bunch of Yankee fans, so the Red Sox.
No, Pittsburgh's not on there. The Yankees are on there at 11%. The White Sox, 44%. And then tied with 11%, the Marlins, the Phillies, the Guardians, almost said them, and the Yankees, and then any California team got 11%.
That is a Fox poll.
Huh?
That is a Fox poll.
That is a Fox poll, absolutely. There you go. There's your list.
Diamond Cavs in the home of the Rangers. Choppy will be in Arlington tomorrow for game 2 of the Yankees and the Rangers. Game 1 is tonight.
By the way, Rangers, I didn't even see that. Rangers did get one vote on the team you would most like to play for. The organization you'd most like to play. The Red Sox won it all.
And wasn't Bochy on there for manager?
I didn't see the manager one. I didn't see anything on managers.
Okay. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece at 9:40. Back out to Oxnard for Jerry versus Micah. Nick Eatman has it covered. DallasCowboys.com next.
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org and also brought to you by the personal injury lawyers Franco and Franco. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Franco first 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franco and Franco, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franco and Franco, the go-to contractor attorneys in Dallas.
Nick Eatman joining us, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. We're walking off the tennis courts. We're leaving the practice facility for the final time this year. And Nick Eatman is walking our way, doing his laps, getting in his exercise. And we show him the tweet from Diana Rossini. We show him the message. And then we get to the airport and all hell breaks loose. Micah Parsons requests the trade. Jerry spends 15 minutes with the media the next day answering all the questions. And here we are on the home of the Cowboys with Nick Eatman on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, man. I'm so glad you told that story. I really am, because I was actually I was walking, but I was actually on the phone with my wife.
Yeah.
And I had like I gotta go, and I called her back, and I think she's listening right now. So I'm glad that she knows that I was that it was something like that, because she's like, I'm sure it was whatever. But at least it was something pretty big like that. And yeah, all hell broke loose on Friday, and then Saturday Jerry comes back and responds, and you know what I mean? We're I don't know what time slot of soap opera that we're going to fit in here, but it's going to be one of them. I mean, this is kind of what happens, and it seems like it happens every year.
Nick, give us the biggest takeaways or biggest things you learned from Micah's statement.
I'm not finished reading it yet. still working. Taking breaks. I was just surprised that these guys, you know, use their own social platforms to get the message across. But I, in this way, it's still relatively new for me to take it to that level in a contract situation like this. We haven't seen that really before. What did I learn? I learned that he feels really hurt, but you know, he's playing the game harder than anybody we've seen before play it. And so it was just like, wow, I don't know if you can go back from some of that, you know, some of the things he said and calling out Jerry in certain ways. It's, I just keep thinking of the toothpaste. Can you put it back in the tube? That's what I don't know. But Jerry on his response, I mean, he didn't really blink. That's, I think, what he's trying to say is that we've seen this before. I've seen this before, and it's not going to change. We're in good shape. So, I think at least feel better about the situation after Jerry talked, because I was wondering on Friday if this really is the end. Can you come back from it? I don't think that they're fazed at all by it.
Nick, you mentioned there that he's playing the game harder than anybody else that they've encountered in negotiation. How much of your what percentage of you says this is him playing the game versus no, he's really asking out of here?
I mean, I think it's the game. I think it's 80% of the game. I think he's seeing that what happened before. He this is a tactic that Myles Garrett used and all that. Now, Myles, I don't think he did not go to the level of naming names and going, you know, just as detailed as it's been. But I think, yeah, there's obviously some hurt there. I mean, I say 80%. I think that's part of the game, but that doesn't mean that this isn't, you know, WrestleMania. I mean, this isn't just fake. I mean, I think it's real.
I'm sorry, what? It's not fake. Scripted, maybe.
Oh, sorry. It's I'm sorry to rattle the cage over there.
Big time rattle.
Okay, sorry. A steel cage, I guess.
Steel cage. Kevin Hagin's going to call him from Germany.
All right. Yeah, of course. Hey, listen, nobody's a bigger wrestling fan growing up and all that, but scripted. Okay. And I don't think that's exactly what it is, but I do think it's a back and forth, and we've seen it done with other people, but I think that, you know, Mike is just kind of taking it to another level. That's why I say he's playing the game harder than what we've seen.
Whose side are you on?
Okay. I'm on the fan side. I want it to get done. I've gone a little bit back and forth. I mean, I do see, I when Jerry was talking, I mean, I see some of that. Here's what I don't know. The reason why it's hard for anyone to pick sides is because we don't know any of the sides.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what's funny is, like, which side are you on? You don't know. All this pay Micah. And I'm like, well, what if we told you, like, okay, for what he's asking, Jerry can get it done. Jerry can pay him. Now, Matt Willetsko has to stay on the team and be your starter. You know, like I'm, or who, name anybody else out there. You know, your right guard, your right tackle. I mean, you're going to be sacrificed because of what this guy's asking you to pay. Nobody ever knows that. No one ever cares.
Right.
And then all they'll do is blame, well, that's Jerry's fault, Steven's fault for not doing it last year or 2 years ago. Hell, it could have been $50 million at that point. You know what I mean? You just like,
yeah.
You don't know exactly. That's why it's hard to take sides. You don't know exactly what each side is asking for. But I still, like, part of me thinks I've got my theory here. I think it'll be done in the next 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Yeah, that's my prediction.
So, okay, so, like, there's – you don't think – what do you think the chance would be then that it would, like, go beyond this year? Like, so you think it's, like, that's not even on the cards?
No, I mean, I don't think. I think as we get closer and closer to it, and I think this is without talking to Micah or anything like that, I just feel like they know he knows, his side knows, they don't really have much leverage. The only way we're going to, you know, he's not going to want to go too far into this. I think he's going to want to get a deal done, you know, for his own sake. I think for both sides, it makes sense to get something done in the next, I would say, couple of weeks. And so that's why I think he's throwing out kind of a I don't know if it's a Hail Mary, but he's throwing out one last chance to say, you know, try to gain some leverage back. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But I think in his mind, he wants to get a deal done pretty soon because he wants the season to start and not have to deal with it again.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com here on 105 Through the Fan. Yeah, Micah is, he's not sending the harshest message that he'll miss games when he's not going to miss practice the day after a trade demand. He doesn't want to lose $50K. Makes it really hard to believe he's going to miss a game check.
Exactly. That's a very, very good point. And that's kind of why this is such a unique situation. I mean, because he's saying, you know what? I'm glad you said that because I should probably change my stance when I say he's playing the game harder than others. You could argue that he's not.
Yeah.
He's just more vocal about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the most, you know, you think you've seen it all until you situations like this. And I, you know, I've asked others about who has demanded a trade in the past, and I'm sure it's happened, and mostly behind closed doors. But I don't remember anything this public.
Nick and Nick Eatman joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Nick, we've talked about teammates supporting him and changing their profile pictures and stuff like that. How much of that is just a, all right, this is a public solidarity, it's a vote of confidence on our teammate, versus there are guys in the locker room who are genuinely becoming offended by this situation?
Funny, because a lot of those guys that are doing it are the ones that got paid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the three that I've seen the most. Osa, right? CD,
mm-hmm. Lamb. Diggs.
Yeah,
and Lamb.
Funny, they all got a contract, and you know, you feel a little bit more solid ground to do that. Maybe Juan K. Thomas in there too, but it's like just go play. You know, but that's the what I see from that, and so you know. I think that, yeah, they feel that way, and they just pay the guy, get it done, pay him what he's owed. But again, do they even know what's being asked for?
Yeah. You
know, I just get the sense that Micah, it matters so much to them that they don't want to be the highest paid non quarterback for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Or for two weeks or whatever. I think he's trying to put it out there. You know what I mean? If he doesn't just want to break the record, you know, he wants to put it out there so far, Emmitt Smith style, you know, that no one's going to get it, at least for a while. And that's just really not how things like this work. So, you know, I don't think he's trying to go 41.1. You know, and I think he wants a little bit more room than that.
Nick, my next big question for Jerry or Steven is, what is this doing to Brian Schottenheimer's culture?
Yeah. You know, I you still see the crowd surfing. I mean, you still see the things we're seeing on the field.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors, that's different. But, you know, you could argue it both ways. I mean, he's still here. I mean, he's still here. I don't think it's changed that much. I like the fact that he's at least listening to the calls. I mean, in some ways, sometimes he's off on the field, you know, on the other side over there with Trayvon. But I would imagine he'll be right in the thick of it when the Rams come in here. So I think that he's having conversations, good conversations, with Schottenheimer, and he said, you know, he's what, 5-6 times he didn't really want to talk about Micah, he's still talking about Micah because that's what's happening. I don't think it's affecting that much. I really don't. The players are maybe focused on what they're trying to do, but I mean, yeah, they still get on social media. They're still going to support Micah Parsons, but I don't think that they're not buying into what Shoddy is doing.
Practice today, Rams tomorrow.
Yep. Should be fun. Is, you know, getting closer to seeing like who's going to be out here, you know, and who's going to play. And what I like about what happens right before a preseason game is that you kind of get the sense that this is the work that the starters are going to get, at least the main guys. And so it's kind of their preseason opener. It's their the time. Yeah, they're not going to get hit or whatever, but it's the best thing we're going to see out of, you know, Dak, CD, Pickens, this offensive line, running game, whatever. It's the best we're going to really get to see for a while. Really, till you could argue until you see to the Eagles game, because they're going to go up against other competition, and the first teamers are going to do it.
Nick, thank you so much. We appreciate you, brother. We'll do it again on Wednesday.
Sounds great. See you guys.
Great Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Let's crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece to recap their weekend. Fred's still in for Hagee. We'll crosstalk with them next.
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine today. The back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. More new Chevys than anyone else. All priced to sell. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Relax. Enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
Let us crosstalk with a KNC Masterpiece featuring Fred Davis in for Kevin Hagelin. Corey Majors, good morning. Have you gotten any Kevin updates?
Oh, no, I have not. I figured phones don't work in Germany. And he did say something about checking the international WhatsApp fees and whatever.
Oh, yeah,
WhatsApp is a good idea. Yeah. My buddy went to Mexico or Spain or something. I don't know. And he was like, hey, I'm going to put WhatsApp on my phone just so we can keep in touch. I can't remember which one.
I don't think they're the same. He goes Mexico or Spain.
I don't remember.
They went to a food court somewhere.
He was like, I'm not going to have much connection. So, but yeah, no, I haven't heard from Kevin at all. Not a single thing. So
wow.
Good luck to him, man, out there in the world.
Man, that WhatsApp. Get that WhatsApp underground.
I saw a commercial this morning. That stuff's like encrypted. They can't read your messages, they say. Nobody can.
They say.
That's what they say.
Allegedly.
Fred, what's the most fun thing you did this weekend?
Spent the entire weekend with my son. Went and picked my son up. He's 17. You know, we're in that pivotal stage.
Where'd you pick him up from?
Kansas. So I drove up to get him, and that six-hour drive back, a lot of just one-on-one father bot. Because he and I have been beefing for the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
And Choppy and I talked about this. You know, he's at that stage. You know, he's had this girlfriend. I don't agree with some of the things that have gone on, but, you know, I'm here in Dallas, so, you know, they're left to do whatever the hell it is they want to do. And I said something about it on the air yesterday. Okay. And the girlfriend's mother was listening.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely awesome.
I love it.
I said, hey, look, they never ask about me, so now they know. Now they know.
What did you say?
Well, I just kind of made a general reference to, I said, because somebody was talking smack on the text line about, oh, you're so verbose around your son. I said, look, I don't say anything on air that I haven't said to my son face to face. So, you know, my son knows how I feel about certain things, and apparently she was listening. So,
but what did you say?
I said in a very general, ambiguous term, I said, you know, I will mock my son's girlfriend. And that's all I said. But I don't mock her per se. It's the whole situation.
Yeah.
But
you've been beefing with him over like their relationship.
Just, I feel
your,
like
your guidance, a move that he should make.
Exactly. I feel like he's gotten a little soft.
Did you? No, he has no hands.
And it's her doing.
So you're saying.
What's that? And it's her doing.
I feel like he, I don't think it's necessarily her doing, but I said you've let her become a succubus. And so, you know.
You said verbose and then this thing. What are those? What are we talking about?
I need you to lock in. Like, it's his senior year. And, you know, I mean, I said, look, a summer ago, you were keeping me up to date on everything going on workout-wise. I knew what was happening. This summer, it's like pulling teeth. And I said, the only thing that's changed is you're spending a lot more time with your girlfriend. Not saying that's a bad thing, but...
But you are.
Well, I if you're going to do both, I mean, look, I said you can do both, but let's not, you know, you only get one senior year.
You know, Fred, I think that you would be the perfect one to judge on the RJ Choppy scale, the offensive scale.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if I'm the one, but go ahead.
I don't think you are, but I like your radio response.
Where are we going with this?
We're
going
to judge. Let's get him to weigh what you talked about in Worst of the Weekend.
Oh.
And see if what Corey and Fred think is worse.
All right, so
because Fred saying that just made me start thinking about, you know,
is this where you made the joke about her being?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So
Corey,
we were sitting there talking, and we were up, in the kitchen, and she goes, "Man, we need to lose some weight."
This is you and your wife, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, "Yeah, I know." I was like, just, you know, in a joking manner, just promise me when you get hot again, you're not going to leave me.
That's fair.
Turns out that was the wrong thing to say. It didn't come out.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's because of what he said on Friday. He stacked it up.
Do you think it's smart to tell the person you're with right now, I don't think you're hot?
I didn't tell her that.
I mean, if you're saying it in jest.
Well, she could take it that way. That's how she did take it.
Yeah, she did.
No, she did.
She definitely took it that way.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. In my head, it's funny.
Very
funny.
And Friday?
And Friday, you know, we were talking about, how did we get on this conversation?
You waking up, like brushing your teeth or something?
No. It was the study from Japan.
Yeah.
Men in Japan find BO to be appealing, sexy. And I said, you know, every now and then you'll wake up in the morning and I'll roll over and occasionally you get a morning whiff.
Yeah.
That's a BO. Yeah. It's admitting her, basically. Yeah. And he's like, I like the smell of it.
Okay. And it's fine. I'm fine. Because, you know,
I think that's endearing.
At 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, it's 24 hours. It's a shower.
Yeah. How'd she take it, though? She took it
not
as
well.
You stink.
Not well.
You she smell told, bad.
She said, which is what you said. You said, you stink. But I like it.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
I didn't say that.
You're ugly and fat, but I like
it. I don't think I said that at all.
And look, not to go all Dr. Phil or anything like that, but how long y'all been together? Like, didn't she kind of know this is kind of comes with the territory with you?
We've been, it's like, you know, three-something years.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's not like RJ woke up one day and decided to be this guy. Like,
how early do you lay it down in your relationship that I'm talking on the radio and I'm going to be talking about you on the radio? That's a very important, like, probably a top three thing. Do you want kids? Are your parents, you know, crazy?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be talking about you on the radio. You're going to be a public figure.
That's been Kristen's big complaint. She's like, everybody else had, like, was able to choose the expectation. She's like, we were married and then you started talking on the radio.
Well, I mean, talking on your, like, four-person podcast didn't count.
That's why she said it didn't count. She says she's like, that didn't count when you were just
looking for something.
But did she know you wanted to get? But she knew you wanted to be on the radio, though. Correct?
No, I didn't at the time.
Oh well.
Then he saw.
I worked in radio.
Our fame.
And then I saw. I was like, let me help these guys out. They need a hand.
What are the insults Zach throws at you about, like, a fanboy or something? Or he said Bobby was a fan of Dawson or something like that.
Oh, yeah, where he's like, oh, who's your biggest fan up until he got with the Mean Girls in the Morning.
Yeah. So your significant other, how long have you guys been?
Oh, no, there? I don't have. I mean, no.
Were we talking about a girlfriend last week or two?
He just got some stuff in the hopper, but, I mean.
Oh,
I mean, what are we talking about?
So
I didn't
no,
say anything about a girlfriend.
You don't. Yeah. Oh, you did.
No,
okay.
No, that wasn't
I
me.
Thought you were just hanging out last week with someone.
No, I don't.
Maybe.
Your last relationship.
Talk to him.
I mean, what are we?
Your last relationship. How long
I think
was
Fred's
it?
Fred's in more trouble than I am now.
Man, it's an ongoing deal.
Oh, it's an on and off.
Yeah.
So you think
on and off?
So
yes. That's the best way to put it.
Okay.
Yes. I'm an on and off type
guy. It's the Mitch Hedberg line. It's the I don't have a girlfriend. I just have a girl, or I know a girl who would be very upset if she heard me say that.
Okay. And the latest one of the on again off again switch got turned up or down was how long ago?
I mean, I don't know. I was with somebody and then I left to come to Dallas and didn't even tell her. So
okay,
you didn't even tell her. You just said
you messed.
You sent like a return address.
No, she showed up at my house and I was moving out.
Oh, this is a great.
This is great.
That
was fantastic.
I mean, we've been all.
I don't know if I like that one.
Okay, so you haven't had like a serious DFW girlfriend.
Oh no.
Oh okay. Okay. Oh, my bad. My
I've
bad.
Only been here a year.
Let me wingman for you.
Yeah, I've only been here a year.
Let me do it.
Bobby's. I still want to go by this Kansas girl.
It does work out brilliant. Opportunities galore. I can't hit for you too.
Oh, that's my son's mother, dude.
I can groove a fastball. I can't hit it.
That's my son's mother.
No, I'd be the one that just showed up at the house. She just shows up like.
Oh no, that was the one in Houston. Yeah, I mean we'd been off and on for a minute. So
are you on any apps out here?
No.
Okay.
No. No. I don't project well on the internet.
How so?
Because first of all, they want you to give all this information and I just don't believe it.
For safety.
But you're on the radio. I'm sure you tell everything on the air. I mean, you clearly do.
I'll tease it. Okay. I tease it. I treat my dating profile like a segment.
Okay.
Okay. We get in, we get out, and I'll tease it.
That's his bio line on the dating profile. I'll tease it.
I get in and I get out and I tease
that's
it.
Right.
Corey, wow. What's coming up?
That sounds really bad. I get in, I get out, and I tease it. Jesus. I don't think you intended it to sound like that, but it did.
Corey, tease your show.
We got more of that. We got more of Fred today. Fair or foul at 12:20 today. Also, the Rangers weekend, and then have we recovered from Micah Friday? Based on everything I've heard this morning, I don't think so. I don't think everybody's recovered from it yet. I think we're still in this mode of like trying to figure out if it is scripted. If that meeting actually was, hey, look, I need to drag this out. Drag it out just like we do. But Micah, since you're, you know, head of content over at Bleacher Report, maybe we can help each other out with headlines.
What percentage do you put in that they choreographed this
together?
10%.
Zero.
Oh, zero.
Okay. Yeah.
A small percentage, but
not like,
but
hey,
not
let's,
zero.
Let's stir it up a little.
No, Jerry may have said, I'll stir this up a little, or Micah on his own may have said, I'll stir this up a little. I don't think there's any chance they got together on it.
Don't you guys think, though, this, and we said this yesterday, and CA agreed, I think this is just a Mulligetta-Jerry Jones pissing match.
I think you've got three massive alpha personalities that all want their claim to this.
Yeah.
They've not had a negotiation like this yet in terms of all the personalities involved.
Do both you guys have interest in hearing the trade proposals? Would you trade them for the right deal that blew you away?
I think it'd be foolish not to listen.
There's not a single player on the planet that I'm not willing to listen to. Every time. Just give me the offer. Doesn't mean I have to do it.
No, you can't high-five him, Chop. You probably wouldn't listen for Mahomes.
I would still listen.
I mean, you don't have to give me 10 firsts.
I want to know what the value is.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get your franchise, but... Yeah. By the way, real quick, and I know you're the baseball guru here.
Well, thank you. What would you like to know?
Would you put DeGrom on the IL?
Interesting. He's going to need two bad starts in a row.
He's going to need to miss a couple.
Yeah, I don't know about IL, but I would definitely.
Well,
skip.
Just like a 10-day, IL run.
Skipping a start. Yeah,
exactly.
You're skipping a start. Yeah, sure.
I don't know if I'd put him on the IL. I would take him off the CY because Tark Skubal is better. That's what I know.
Because it's clear something's off.
He doesn't look right last two games.
Something's off. I mean, his strikeout numbers are fine, but like. Something's not right. He's not giving up. He shouldn't be giving up 10 runs in 10 innings.
No.
And he's not a pitcher you typically see, like, pull.
Pitch this. I mean, he's. When was
like
the last time?
Backstop.
When was the last time he's thrown this many innings?
2019.
Yeah.
2019.
I mean, that's a long time.
And he's
ago.
37.
By the way, he's the fastest to 1,800 strikeouts ever. He doesn't even have 100 wins yet.
That's crazy.
could you imagine?
Who's hosting with Blake in place of you?
Got you down.
Okay.
Ooh. One the only.
When did he get back from Brazil?
I think last Thursday or Friday, because he was with your boy on Saturday.
Who's my boy?
Jake.
Oh, Reetma. Okay. Is he not your boy?
No, he is your boy.
Well, I mean, I think it's.
I think you've claimed him, Sean. You claimed him pretty quickly.
I got him on waivers.
Your guy. Yeah.
For nothing.
On the waiver wire. You say,
for nothing. KNC. That's my laugh. I have the rights to that laugh. The KNC masterpiece next on the Fan.